Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny. And joining me in studio today, it's our pal Jamie Lissau. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Three Heads Brewing, makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. Good morning, Carlson casters. My guest today is a regular on the number one late night show on television, Gutfeld on Fox, the Netflix original series Real Rob, alongside his best buddy, Rob Schneider. He's also appeared on The Tonight Show, The Late Late Show, Last Comic Standing, Gotham Live, Star Search, and has his own Comedy Central half-hour special. He's the inspiration for many a Rochester comedian, and he has four shows here left at Comedy at the Carlson this weekend. I want to welcome back to the studio, it's Jamie Lissau.
Good morning, Jamie. To see you, man. Good morning.
I'm so happy to have you back, dude.
It's good to be back. I was getting excited during that intro, and then I remembered it was me.
You're like, man, whoever this person is,
guy's
they
done
are
a lot of shit, dude. We're, this is going to be really fun to listen to. And I was like, oh, shit. I got to do it.
Jamie, your career has like done this weird chameleon thing.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, not chameleon, but like I feel like it's changed, and I've watched it evolve.
Yeah.
Like, for a while there, I was like, Jamie is going to be an amazing writer. And you are an amazing writer. But now, like, since you started doing this Gutfeld show, stand-up's got to be blowing up huge for you.
It's blowing up huge. Can I be completely honest? If I'm being honest,
sure.
I think writing for me was a... You know who Stephen Pressfield is? He wrote The War of Art.
I do not know the book.
So there's like a book called The Art of War by this dude. I can't remember his name. It's like a book about war. Yeah. This guy Stephen Pressfield wrote a book called The War of Art, and it's about writing and comedy. And he talks about how people have these shadow careers where you feel like you're following your dream, but you're not really. It's something you kind of tell yourself.
Okay.
And so I would say a perfect example of my shadow career is like being a cruise ship comedian. I did it. It's okay. And you can go, I'm a comic. But I didn't feel like I felt disconnected from my kids. I felt like it was a shadow career. It wasn't really. And writing, I felt like I had convinced myself, I want to be a writer. I'm writing a man with a plan. But I think it was because I didn't think I could get people to come to my stand-up show. Like, I didn't think I could do it the way I really wanted to. I think it was like a backup plan.
I understand why you would feel that way, because when you look at what's selling, you have to figure out what category and where you would fit into that. And a lot of the times what's selling is people with a ton of TV credits.
Yeah.
YouTubers.
Yeah, TikTokers.
TikTokers. And like that would be a weird path for you to go down to get to where you are now. But what ended up happening was you met Greg Gutfeld in New York City at a comedy show. And, you know, you're doing this show. That's the number one show on late night. Millions of people are watching it every night. And you're on all the time. My mother calls me to tell me when you're on Gutfeld.
Dude, it's so... I would say if I have one really big credit, I'm people's mothers are fans of me. Like, I can't tell you how many, like, famous people have said to me, my mom loves you on Gutfeld. Some good names.
Okay. Well,
some
I'm
good
interested
names
in this list.
I'll tell you one. David Spade's mom is like a huge fan of Gutfeld, and we were having dinner once, and she called him, and he put her on speaker, and was like, "I'm here with Jamie from." That was really cool. I'm huge with moms, dude.
That's really.
Remember
funny.
Years ago when I drank, I was huge with moms for that other reason.
Yeah.
But now it's comedy. But yeah, dude, you're right about. But if you look at what I did as I did comedy, I did the things you're supposed to do, right? Like I did like late show spots. Mm-hmm. I did The Tonight Show and like that. I had a show on Netflix. It doesn't impact your ticket sales to the point where clubs go like, wow, let's bring this guy in for a special event. You can get booked everywhere, but it's a grind. Even with a show on Netflix, I think I was on TV 30 times before Gutfeld.
And I mean,
it's not enough.
Mention you have a dry bar special.
Dry bar special and stuff. It's just some of that stuff doesn't impact your numbers to the point where it really impacts the club's numbers, where they go, wow, this is a great weekend for us. We'll pay a little bit more money. You don't have to work every week of your life. Gutfeld, it's like this phenomena where I walk through. I was walking down the, I just went to visit my friend in LA, and I was walking along the pier, and I was wearing like a hat and glasses, whatever. And we were kind of talking about the Gutfeld thing. He was asking me about it. And every like 15 minutes, someone would go, Jamie, what's up, man? Like they would say hi to me. And he was like, what's going on? And I was like, dude, everybody watches this show. And they feel like...
It's wild in LA that they're watching it too.
Wild.
Like, a lot of people feel that, like, because it's on Fox News, that it would only appeal to certain places. Like, you would think Jamie Lissow's huge in Omaha now, you know?
Right. Florida.
Sure.
Or Texas. Whatever. But I just sold out 3 out of 4 shows in San Diego. I just went to St. Louis. I went to Denver. We sold out every single seat in the whole. It's bizarre. There's like these pockets of. I also am a guy who. There's nothing. You could bring 10 people that are super, super left wing, and they're all going to have an awesome time at the show, and mm-hmm. no one's going to be angry. But this Gutfeld thing, man, I think it's that you. When you do like Colbert or like Fallon or something, you do like a 5-minute set and you do your act, and it's great. On Gutfeld, you hang out for an hour. I do like 11 to 12 minutes of jokes every time I'm on every week.
That's a good point.
And you're also, I'm this character that's like this exaggerated version of my actual self. Like I'm divorced and I'm from Alaska. And so people like really, the most common thing I hear is, my fans are like a lot older now and I love them, is people go, this is crazy, but I feel like you're going to know me. Like, I know you. I feel like you know me. Like, that's how much I want you.
Now, that's really interesting. Because when you think back to the heyday of The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And the people who are on his show all the time. That's the kind of reactions people had to guys like, you know, Rodney Dangerfield and things right. like that. Where they were like, they learned a personality. They felt like when this person went to the couch, even if it was just for 10 minutes or 15 minutes on a show, you got to see more of their personality.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what drives the ticket sales. Not so much just 5 minutes of stand-up, but it's the personality and the person behind it and being able to showcase that.
I think you're right. Isn't it too, like, say you're watching of MMA fight or something, and they go, hey, here's a backstory. This guy's wife had a child, they had a kid, and there was a pro. And you're like, I want this guy to win so bad. Like, there's something about the backstory. If you just watch two people fight, who cares? But if you know one of them used to be homeless, and now he's going to fight this guy, and like you root for him because you know his story. And I feel like so many people know, like, my story now.
And it's an interesting way to win people over in ways you're not even conscious of, just because you're being you.
Yeah.
And you're just being presented well, you know, that's I think stand up has to be presented well. But on television, it's hard to get a personal connection in a 5-minute set, though.
Right. Completely. And dude, I do this thing where I remember it happened unintentionally where I was sitting in. On Gutfeld, there's 4 chairs. He sits in the middle. And sometimes I sit on the chair 2 to his left. And this thing happened where one day I sat to the chair 2 to his left and the camera came by and showed a very clear picture of my bald spot. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that day, that night, a couple people made jokes about it. Right. Like they go like, hey, we saw your bald spot, whatever. And the next day I was laughing and I was telling the next time I was on Gutfeld, I was telling like the makeup artist about it. I go, this is really funny. People say like they knew it was me because it's, and she's like, oh, I can. We have stuff like we have this fiber stuff and we can match your hair. And we can, and I go, oh, no, I'm not. No, like, no way. I don't want you to cover it. I just think it's funny. And so that next show, I said something about how. Like, it's funny how we can see all these positive comments. Then one person goes like, hey, I saw your, and makes you feel bad or makes you feel good. And I talked about it on Gutfeld. And I think like the willingness to show that you're not like perfect and stuff is wrong in your life. And maybe you're divorced and you lost a bunch of money or you're losing your hair or you whatever. Like, I won't hide anything. Like, I never try to pretend like everything's perfect. I think that helps too. Sometimes I fill in the bald spot to see if people notice. I'll do it like once every 5 times. I'll have her spray it and come by just because people go, hey, you filled in your bald spot. Like, I think just being, look at everyone on TV. They're all wearing like makeup. I don't look like I look like on Gutfeld. I'm wearing makeup and we're all being fake. And I think like as much as you can just admit that we all have shit that's not perfect, you know?
Well, it's a weird thing. Just the art of television itself is meant to present fake. It's all about
right.
phony. Everybody that you have as a presenter on television these days is very well made up to the nines.
Yeah.
Everybody looks plastic. it's nice to see someone who's just, hey, I got a bald spot, and right. you put it on the camera. Come on, everybody saw it.
Right.
It makes you likable. It immediately makes you likable.
And you're like relate like a real person. Because everybody that we see that is made up and fake, they all have whatever their bald spot is, too. They're just not telling us what it is.
Yeah.
Like, they have moments at night where they're sad or that this is wrong.
They're twisting cat heads. Yeah. Just doing sick things.
Yeah.
All right. So, how are the kids, man? They've got to be getting older.
Kids are the best. I've been gone. This is the longest I've been gone from them for like a very long time, and I hate it. But they kind of went on a vacation, so I had a chance to. I just did 5 Gutfelds in 5 weekends without going home.
Wow.
At clubs. But this is it, man. This is the last time I ever do it. I'm going home to see them for like a long break, and then we're going on like a vacation. So I miss them so much right now, but they are awesome.
I'm glad to hear
that.
All
the kids are like, they're becoming good people.
And that's the struggle for the whole thing, isn't it?
It's the whole thing.
How do you make 3 people good people? How do you do that?
It's too many. I had told my ex-wife, I remember saying, like, let's have 1 kid. That way we can go. We just have to make sure this 1 kid's not a drug addict. And this one. You know what I thought of recently, though? Because right before we went on the air, I was texting with that stranger about the Kratom thing that I kind of got addicted to. It then occurred to me, even if something does happen with your kid, it's okay. Like, I've been through some stuff, and I think my mom still thinks I'm a good kid. You know, like, I had a drinking thing I had to quit. I had this other thing I had to quit. That's okay. Like, I feel like you have to just sort of, you know.
Well, the thing is this. There's a lot of people who have demons that are good people.
Right.
It's, you know, whether or not you were trained to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're an equipped emotionally as a person to be able to recognize and deal with these things.
Right.
And I think maybe having a parent who's open to the struggle and not afraid to face the struggle is probably very inspirational to kids.
Yeah, it's funny. It kind of goes back to the bald spot. Like, I did not want to admit that I got addicted to an over-the-counter, totally legal thing that is sold as a drinking alternative. It's sold as like a health drink, like for real.
All right.
I had people.
What is this stuff? Let's talk about this because I need to know now.
Okay, so I think it's called, I always get the name wrong. I think it's called, I said it to you wrong earlier. It's called Feel Free. It's a little bottle.
Okay.
It looks like a 5-hour energy drink.
Okay.
But the active ingredients are Kratom. That's the one that can be bad. And then kava. And it's a combination of Kratom, kava, a couple other things that are kind of like inactive ingredients for taste. Mm-hmm. They sell it at 7-Elevens in Florida. They sell it at...
And they sell it as a health drink.
It's for sure advertised. If you were to Google it, the first thing that came up would be, hey, say you want to like quit drinking or quit... And I will say some people have had really good... When I came out with my thing where I got addicted to it, people were like, I hope they never make this illegal. This helps me with pain. This helps me with... Okay. And I don't think anyone should have it taken away from them.
The company that makes it's like, this is user error.
Yeah.
It's not us.
That's exactly right. And they also... I listened to a podcast with the owner of the company where he said he drank like 4 of them one day or 2. And I used to drink like 2, sometimes way too many, like 4 or 5, whatever. That podcast, I can't find it anymore. And on the website, it's like you can only have 1 a day. That was never written on there that warning is brand new.
So Feel Free. You find this stuff where did you first try it? Was some guy standing outside? It's like, hey, buddy, outside the 7-Eleven. He's like, go on, try something great.
Would you believe this friend of mine who now feels really guilty had said, I heard about this thing on Ben Greenfield's podcast. Ben Greenfield is really big in the fitness health space.
Sure.
Very trustworthy, all natural kind of guy. Yeah. And he said, like, I love this thing for when I don't want to have like booze and my friends are drinking. So my friend was like, oh, maybe you would like this. And then like I do with everything, I go above and beyond all or nothing. Like, I do that with everything. Even when I'm having sex, I put my penis all the way in. Like I was buying 3 cases. You can buy it by the case. Comes in 12 to a case. I was buying like 3 to 4 a month. At the end there, it was costing a couple $1,000 a month. But I thought it was...
For a drink.
Yeah, but I thought it was like this... I swear I thought I was taking like a vitamin. I didn't even feel like I was taking an energy drink. I thought I was taking something was kind of good for me. So I would go, well, it's a couple thousand dollars, but I'm being really creative. It makes you really good with your kids. Like it's kind of, and then what happens, just like anything like that, it's all a dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the first couple days of cocaine are really wonderful. It just catches up to you and you need more and more and more. And I got to the point where in between taking the stuff, I would have withdrawals without even quitting it, as it would like run out of my system. It got crazy, man. It got crazy. And I remember I had done Dr. Drew.
Technically speaking, though, yeah. it increases your dopamine levels and makes you happier.
Yeah, so dopamine is not necessarily happiness. Dopamine is like the molecule of more. So serotonin is like more of a calm happiness. Dopamine is cocaine, Adderall. Like this is like, I want to achieve more shit. Let's fucking do this. It's like a little bit of a, I kind of like want more. Like,
it's liquid ambition.
Yeah, it's ambition. Yeah, where serotonin's a little more of like a happiness.
Okay.
You really want your dopamine to turn into, like, that's like a beautiful thing, is when you have like enough serotonin where you're contented. But damn, man, this dopamine stuff, like once you, I have this unscientific advice where I feel like if you can go through life, if I had to put something on a billboard, one phrase, it would be earn your dopamine. And what that means to me is, if you want dopamine, go hiking, meet a girl, talk to a friend, earn your dopamine. Free fake bullshit dopamine is cocaine. Like you're I'm gonna feel like I had a good time. I didn't do anything though. I didn't appreciate nature. I didn't make a connection with someone. I just drank this bottle. That's when there's trouble, is when it's like unearned dopamine, because it raises your dopamine and your baseline level of dopamine. I'm not good at explaining this. It goes down. Your baseline goes down. Like if you do it for 6 months,
because your
9 months,
now used to it just being fed.
Exactly.
So it's not producing more.
And then you're taking it and you think it's really helping you, but you're just getting back to where you were before you ever heard of it.
Well, I'm going to have another sip of this coffee.
Yeah, dude.
I just feel really good about myself.
Coffee doesn't really produce dopamine. Coffee is more of a, it makes your neurons more like accepting of a dopamine response. So like coffee's great for, drink a little coffee before you work out, working out. You're going to get like more dopamine by coffeeing it up ahead of time.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The workout talk now.
I think anyone's still listening after that long thing I just
yes,
said.
I think it's okay. Fascinating.
All right.
I think the maybe a little less science.
Okay.
Maybe a little less science, but the addiction part is really interesting. When did you realize it was a problem, though? Like, when did you look and say, I got to get off of this stuff, just because you were crashing when you were off of it?
Very simply, I was doing a gig where I was making the most money I'd ever made my whole career in front of the biggest crowd I've ever performed in front of, and I just didn't bring any. Because I didn't think I was addicted to it. So I just didn't. I ran out, but that's okay. Like, it didn't even occur to me that that would be a problem.
Like, 5 minutes before the show, you screamed, someone get to a 7-Eleven. Yeah.
And they didn't sell it in the state I was in. I couldn't get it. And I was, like, shaking. You have opioid-like withdrawals. It's the same exact. Dude, when I got off this stuff, I took Suboxone. That's what they give you for.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Heroin, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It's the same exact thing they told me. Is like an opioid withdrawal. This is something you buy at 7-Eleven. But that was it. I noticed, I was like, whoa. Like if you ever like didn't have your coffee for the day, mm-hmm. and it made you like so messed up, you might really take a look at yourself and go, wow, little headache. Okay. But if you were shaking and, dude, I took some videos of myself when all this was happening. I was like, maybe someday I'll document this, because I get a lot of people reach out to me. I don't know if I can ever show them to anyone. I don't remember taking them because
that'd
I
be
was
great for the eventual class action suit.
Dude. There's one where I'm like, I'm really tired, but I'm afraid to close my eyes because I think I'm going to die.
Oh, man.
And I tell my kids I love them. And so I don't remember making this video. I watched it the other day. I was like, holy shit, dude.
Oh, no.
But I don't know if, almost like with alcohol, I don't think Kratom's evil and people should sue. It's definitely a little bit of false advertising. They should have better warnings. I don't blame Kratom. I'll bet people drink. I can't drink. You know, like maybe it's like that.
Sure.
Like I'm not good with it. Maybe some people. So I don't blame the Kratom. I for sure blame the advertising and lack of warnings.
That argument is good for anything in the world. You can't blame a gun for someone's murder. You have to blame the person who pulled the trigger. Okay.
Right.
There's cause and effect to everything. But it's amazing that something like that's just available over the counter.
Yeah, it's I predict. So when I said this, people would go, well, I did a video about it. I deleted it. I did a video where I explained what happened, but I was like taking Suboxone at the time. Okay. And so I was a little bit, I said a couple things about the company that this friend of mine's a lawyer. And he was like, I would delete that and maybe like give it some more thought. So I deleted it. And then, it was, I totally lost my train of thought, but it was, yeah, dude, I just feel like I feel like it wouldn't be that hard to put a cigarette like warning on it. And I do, I know some people still smoke even with those warnings, but I'm telling you, if I discovered this when I was 18 or something, like in college, it would be game over. Yeah. Game over. This would have happened to me back then.
All right. Well, folks, something to watch out for.
Yeah. I do sell it after my shows. Just because
it's
merch.
The trunk of my car.
Yeah.
It's only in the parking lot.
Yeah, but they really do sell it like it's completely harmless, and it is not.
Now, Jamie, let's talk about something a little more positive.
Yeah.
Let's talk about...
Oh, by the way, can I really quickly say...
Please.
Things have never been better. I'm almost glad it happened to me. I feel you ever lose your wallet, and then you find your wallet, and you're almost happy you lost it because of the feeling you have when you find it?
Nope.
Okay. Well, this is how I feel with the Kratom thing. It ended up being the best thing ever. It's how I discovered, like, other ways to raise your dopamine, like cold exposure. And I'm glad it happened.
I'll tell you what I have learned in life.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned that some of the happiest feelings I've ever had have come from learning a lesson.
Mm. Absolutely.
So maybe that's a little bit about, maybe I could relate to you in that way. You learned something from this.
Yeah, exactly. But go ahead, sorry.
No, I just, I wanted to talk about the good things, man. Stand-up's going well.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're feeling refreshed. You're probably writing quite a bit towards stand-up these days. Are you doing any more television projects? Are you working on any more movies? I know Daughter Daddy Trip was just recently released.
Yeah, so we released that. We are, right now, we're writing, remember the movie The Animal with Rob Schneider?
Yes.
So Fox... Tubi, I think this is all public information on Deadline or Variety. They want to make The Animal 2 like a 20-year later movie with Rob Schneider. That was the movie where he like got in this big car crash. He doesn't remember, but some surgeon like fixed him up, and then he realizes the guy used animal parts, and he becomes like a super cop because he's got like special abilities that animals have. And so this 20 years later, all the parts are failing. This guy, you know, like at the beginning of the movie, there's like a crime scene. There's one piece of evidence. It's a footprint. It's all they have to go on. And then Schneider like pees all over it and it's gone. He ruins the only piece of evidence they have. And then, so we're in The Animal 2 right now. It'll be on Fox Tubi when we're done.
Nice.
I got myself a little part in it, and it's Rob Schneider. I think John Cleese is going to be in it. I don't know if that's, if we got him.
That's your boy,
locked
right?
in. Yeah, man.
You met John Cleese on Daughter Daddy Trip.
Yeah. He was like me and my dad's favorite comedian from, you know, Monty Python. And you're probably a little bit too young, right?
Well, no.
Monty Python, Meaning of Life. And
here's the thing. Nobody made me watch that stuff when I was a kid. I sought it out later.
Gotcha.
And I see the genius, obviously, of John Cleese. I never think of him as a comic, though.
Yeah, totally agree.
I mean, people say he's a comedian. I don't know if he's a comedian. I don't think he ever did stand-up.
Not really,
but
no.
I think that he is definitely, obviously part of an improv troupe, and that makes him a comic, right?
Yeah, like, that's a good question. Like, I guess that was like a sketch group, would you say?
Sketch group,
Monty Python? I don't know.
There's sketch comics.
Comedic actor, I would say.
Comedic actor. All right. So, let me ask you this question. You're always, obviously, writing... And stand-up is, you know, at the center of all of it. And no matter what you're working on, whether it's a movie or a TV, at some point, Jamie Lissau is going to get back to writing stand-up.
Yeah.
You may go write a million projects, but you always come back to stand-up. Have there been any lessons that maybe you've learned from writing for television or for movies that you've been able to apply to the stand-up comedy stage?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think, like, one thing I noticed was... I was always a punch up guy. Like, I'm better at if when we were on Man with a Plan, mm-hmm. I only wrote one episode. Like, my strength lies in, like, if you write it and you give it to me, mm-hmm. I'll write jokes for it. And one day I realized that I could do it for myself if enough time had passed. So, like, say, like, I could watch my act, and as long as I wrote the jokes a few months ago, I could, like, do that with my own stuff. I would do it for other guys. I'd do it for Schneider. And somewhere along the line, I was like, you know, like, when you get a joke you like and you kind of just, like, keep doing it the same way?
Sure.
One day I was like, why don't I give my punch up my own stuff? And so that was one thing I try to do now, is where I'll definitely let it breathe. Like, I'll give it a few months, but then I'll treat it like a Man with a Plan script, where I'll look at my stuff. And
when I hear that, I feel like a lot of people would say, seems like something that people would normally
would be
just
obvious.
Go do.
Would yeah.
be obvious, but it's not.
You don't. How many comedians do you know where you've seen them kind of like do those jokes kind of the exact same way for a really long time?
Way too many.
And you could so easily sit down and make it fresh and, you know, make it, punch it up, make
Absolutely.
It a little bit funnier.
It's all going to depend on, you know, your work ethic.
Yeah.
Is a joke finished or is a joke not finished?
Yeah. And I think you might be too, I think sometimes it's harder to punch up your own stuff and easier to punch up other people's because you are way too close to it. But the solution is to just give it
time.
Give it like 3 months. I watched that video.
You're right, because the common knowledge or the common wisdom is, you know, a fresh set of eyes on something.
Yes.
But when you give yourself the time, your eyes are now the fresh set of
exactly.
eyes.
Exactly. Well said.
Damn it, Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just all sorts of wisdom here today. How's your hot yoga yurt in your apartment going?
Hot yoga dome's amazing. I still use it every day that I'm home. But I will say the cold, all my cold stuff that I do like cold plunges a lot. Cold has taken over warm in my life.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Cold plunges. Come again?
Yeah, so I do like, a lot of people do like cold showers and stuff, you know? Okay. I do, cold plunges is almost one of the only things that raises your dopamine, almost like you're doing drugs.
Okay.
I think it was like, what's the Russell guy who's like a recovering gigantic comedian? Or do I have the wrong guy?
Are you talking about?
It's not Russell Peters.
Oh, British guy?
Yes. That guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Why can't I remember his name?
I think I have the right guy. He does cold exposure because that helps him with his stuff, like dopamine from like drug stuff.
Russell Brand?
Russell Brand. Crushed it. We needed a fresh set of eyes on it. It's a game changer, man. It's like I do this, like I do these in New York City.
Tony Robbins does this. Tony Robbins has a cold chamber at his house that he jumps into every morning.
Yeah, I have like a like say Tony Robbins was a headliner.
Psychotic.
I have the open micers version of that. If Tony Robbins was a headliner,
you run outside the stove.
I have a barrel that you fill with ice in the summer or like snow in the winter and you submerge in that.
What are you, like some Bush League college trading facility?
Yeah,
have
dude,
a barrel?
That's what it's like. It's like a barrel, but it's specifically made for that exact thing. I forgot what it's called. It's called like an ice barrel. But in Alaska, it's so cold in the winter, if you just run your water in the bathtub, it's like 40 degrees. You want it like above freezing, but lower, and you just do like 3 minutes and
you just jump in the tub?
Yeah, and you just sit in there and it's amazing. It's like you get adrenaline, get some growth hormone.
I did the polar plunge last year.
Oh, okay.
And I wished I was dead after it. I did not feel good.
That's really, really, I think that's just colder
cold.
Than, yeah.
That's too cold.
Isn't that
when
like 33 degrees?
Lake Ontario
are really cutting
your leg open. Yeah.
I would love to do, if you said like, I'll drive you to Lake Ontario right now and you could jump in the lake.
I'll drive you to Lake Ontario.
I would be so
jump
psyched.
In the lake, Jamie. Don't get me wrong.
If I had shorts on, if I could borrow some shorts. If you could tell me I wouldn't die, I would do it. If I knew the temperature, I would love to do that.
I can't tell you you wouldn't die, but I feel like the chances of survival.
What if you just tell me? You just tell me anyway, even if I do.
What if I told you you would die?
It's great though, man.
This is crazy to me.
I'm over at Strathallan. The water's freezing cold because we're in New York, and
sure.
I did like a 5 minute shower this morning. Didn't drink. Didn't need a coffee to wake up. You know.
So you just go straight cold water. That's your thing.
Oh, it's great.
And it raises the dopamine levels.
It's unreal.
And you don't need any free form.
No,
you just need a cold shower.
Yeah, that's all you need.
All right. Well, folks, Jamie Lissau is going to be in town for four more shows this weekend.
That's right.
You can get your tickets right now at carlsoncomedy.com. We really, truly hope you do, because Jamie is one of our favorite performers. He's a Rochester original. When you're traveling around the world, what things make you think of this town? What things make you think of Rochester, Jamie?
Oh, wow. You just made me think of, like, it's not a story, but you, this woman who watched me on Gutfeld messaged me 2 days ago. Some people don't know I'm from Rochester, right? Because they just see me on Gutfeld. And she goes, oh, I see you're going to Rochester. Here's some stuff you got to do. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And she's like, you got to go to Nick Tahoe's. I'm just letting her go. I'm letting her go, right?
All right.
And then she says, you got to go to Nick Tahoe's. She said, you got to go. What's like the, what do you think is one of the better restaurants here? What's, is there like, is Black and Blue still here?
I think
like
Black
Prime
still
or
here. I don't know if Prime is still open.
She said, you got to go wherever. And then, so I would say Garbage, I think Garbage Plate really makes me think Rochester. But I also am really good friends with one of my best friends from Rochester. I talk to him every day on the phone. He's an attorney in LA. And I think we talk about Rochester all the time. We talk about it all the time.
What makes you wistful for this town? What makes you miss it?
Oh, man. Just like, well, I don't like...
I don't miss it, Vinny.
I hate New York City.
Bit. It's the worst.
I just... Oh, for real, though, I hate New York City. I hate Los Angeles. Like, I kind of only like... Fairbanks, where I live, is like a little town. And Rochester makes me... Like, my stress levels are zero when I'm here and there. But, dude, I don't know if you... I mean, I spend so much time in New York, so much time in L.A. It's like... I love the work that I do there, but the life is really tough. Like, it's like a...
Before the pandemic, I hated New York, and I just went back recently and just was like a fresh set of eyes being out in the world after I'd been away from it for so many years.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's nice to be back.
Yeah.
And I left, I felt like, oh, this might be one of the first times I might miss New York for
a little while. That's not bad.
But that was the only time I've ever felt that way. I'm with you most of the times.
Oh, so this lady, by the way, this Facebook lady. I go, hey, I'm actually from Rochester. I know all those places or whatever. And she goes, oh, I had no idea. And then she goes, are you a white hot guy or a red hot guy? And I blocked her.
Yeah, good choice.
Because we don't, let's not talk like that.
That's dirty talk.
Let's not speak like that. Don't ask me if I'm a white hot guy.
Well, Jamie is a white hot guy, just so everybody knows. Don't want to spoil it for you.
I ask whenever I meet a girl and she likes porn, I go, are you a white hot guy or a red hot guy?
She goes, I'm a lady.
Oh.
I'm a lady, James.
What are you?
Jamie, I'm a lady. Oh, man. So, folks, this is great to have Jamie back. Four more shows. They're going to be lights out tonight and tomorrow, carlsoncomedy.com. We're going to be back next week with our pal Jessica Kirsten.
She's the best, Jessica.
I love Jessica so much. She's just been a fantastic guest on this show.
Oh, hey, really quick, dude. Sorry to interrupt you, but another way to appreciate Rochester.
Sure.
Just go do a weekend in Syracuse. It's a tough... Or like some of the, I don't want to name names, but I go to some other places nearby and I'm like, it's not the same. And maybe I'm biased and maybe I'm not going to the right places.
If you're going to Syracuse, you're doing it wrong. I'll start off there.
Okay.
Syracuse is.
I thought you were going to go the other way with it. Yeah,
you're doing it wrong. If you end up in Syracuse, you did something wrong.
Because I work there. So, you know, like I'll do like the Funny Bone or something, but it's not the same.
Nothing. It's these places in upstate New York, Rochester. I'm biased, but we win. If we're talking quality of life, hands down,
100%.
Rochester versus anywhere else in upstate New York.
Yeah,
we win.
Can I tell you a 60-second story?
You have 58 seconds. Go.
This is so worth it. So I'm doing my cold plunge. I hear there's a lake in Syracuse. I'm there 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I go, I'm going to go to this lake. I'm going to jump in the lake because my shower wasn't cold enough, and I have to do this. I pretty much have to do this every day. I love doing it every day. So I drive to this lake. There's all these people around. It's this gigantic park, lake, whatever, and no one's in the water. It's freezing cold. And I go, I'm going in there. So I get down, get my shorts on, take my shirt off. I jump in the water. There's an outdoor yoga class. They're pointing at me. These other people, and I go, they're just like, they think I'm a bat. It's so cold. And they're thinking like, what a brave soul. This guy's the greatest. He's going in there. Wow. I thought they were like looking how great. So I came out. I went back in. I come out of the water. It's freezing, by the way. I did 5 minutes in there. And there's these two women exercising. And the one woman says, she goes, "You're really brave." And I go, "Yeah, you know, I'm kind of like cold adapted because I do these this cold exposure." And she goes, "No, no, that's not what I mean. That's the second most polluted lake in the world." That's why they were pointing at me.
The fucking Ganges is cleaner than Syracuse.
That's why they were pointing at me. They were like, "That guy's in the chemical."
What's in the Syracuse? Oh, God. Have you had any?
No, I was like, shit, and I just showered and stuff and cleaned up really fast. But I thought they were looking at me because I was
Did the
awesome.
Did water smell bad? Like when you went?
No, It was great. But I thought they
I
thought I was awesome.
Now I worry for you. Just jumping in any old lake,
yeah,
just to get your fix.
Your
dopamine fix.
I even checked.
You need to call Dr. Drew again.
I love that guy, by the way. I owe a lot to Dr. Drew.
Yeah, check the lakes, Jamie.
Yeah.
Get one of those like fish tank water testing kits before you jump in a lake. Check the pH is my advice to you. All right, folks. We'll be back next week with Jessica Curse. And until then, make sure you're following Jamie Lissau wherever you're on social media. At I am Jamie Lissau. Is that correct?
You got it, man.
All right. And we'll see you at a show. Act right, Rochester. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.